Psalm 145.
Just a few verses in it, just the first few verses. It's David's psalm of praise. He says in Psalm 145 and verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Isn't that an amazing thing for a king to recognize God as a bigger king than he is? Boy, I'm glad I've got a king. And my king is a great king. You see verse 3, great is the Lord. I want you to look and see how many times great's in this text. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Look at verse 6. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I really hope you understand, and I think most of you do, if not all of you, how great our God is. That's something to be thankful for. I'm glad we don't have a puny God. We've got a great God. We've got a God that made everything from nothing. We've got a great God who is, his thoughts and ways are unsearchable. He's higher than the heavens. He's deeper than the seas. He's longer than you can reach out and grab. He's a great God. And I'm so glad I don't have a God that's contained in a box or in an idol or in a church, but that he fills heaven and earth. Thanks to our great God, we've got a great king. He doesn't have a physical ailment. He has no infirmities. He has no sins. What a great God. Just to have a God that's that great ought to give you thanks. And David the king is thanking God for his king. And he knows that his king is so much greater than his kingdom. He said in verse 2 in Psalm 145, verse 2, look at it. Every day. Do you see that? I don't think he's just talking. I think the Holy Ghost let him write this honestly. He says, every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. We can thank God that we have such a great God, a great king. And we ought to thank God every day. Now, we know we're going to thank God for eternity. When you get to heaven, you know, bless the Lord. He's going to have to put up with people, you know, for all eternity. We're just going to follow around and say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we're going to do that for forever and ever and ever. But, you know, there's not a lot of people that do that every day now. I'm glad that our forefathers had enough character to assign a day of thanksgiving. Because some people would never thank God. Or never even think about God. But the proclamation of our first president we put in the bulletin was for all our people to thank the Lord and set aside that day for doing it. And I think it's appropriate. I think it's the greatest holiday on the calendar. I really do, because it's all centered toward God. But our verse says, every day. Guys, I hope the Lord will help all of our hearts. Because I have to be honest, sometimes I get up in the morning and I'm in a hurry. I know you probably never that way. You probably never get out of bed without stopping first to thank the Lord. But sometimes I get in a hurry. Sometimes I get on with my day before I get on with God. And the Bible tells us that every day will I bless thee. Riding in your car to work or eating your breakfast or while you're trying to wake yourself up in the bed when the alarm goes off. Just every single day of your life, set aside some time to just bless the Lord and thank the Lord and let him know how wonderful he is. Because he's the only one that deserves that. Thank God I've got a great king, a great God. I want to thank him every day. He says in verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. You know, thanks to God is for every generation. It's not just for one generation. I can remember not just my parents' generation as a boy in church, how they would praise God and thank God. I can remember the old people doing that, you know. The generation, you know, God is just as much a real God to each generation. It doesn't matter if it's the boomers or to X or to Y or Z or the millennials or whoever they are. Every generation has the same responsibility to thank and bless the Lord and to praise God because His works are not just in one generation. Thanks to God for His works. Nobody could do what He's done. Nobody will do what He can do. And then I see in verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow to anger. Can you get in David's heart and see what he's saying? David's saying, you know, God, you should have killed me a long time ago. And you were angry with me, but you were slow to anger with me. And Lord, no matter where I went, you were full of compassion. And God, you have always been gracious. Thank God for grace. For grace. Undeserved, unmerited. Just grace. And for compassion. You know, I'm sure you're glad that God's not like you. I mean, how many of us would have squashed ourselves if we were God a long time ago? But He's gracious. He's still just. He's still holy. He's still righteous. He's still right. But He's gracious. And He's full of... And if you can't thank Him for anything else, you ought to stop and say, God, thank you for being gracious to me. He says in verse number 9... The Lord is good to all. There's nobody in the world. There's nobody in the world that shouldn't thank God because He's been good to them all. He's been good to the kind. He's been good to the unthankful. He's been good to the evil. He's been good to those that have sought Him and those that didn't care anything about Him. God's just good to all. He lets their hearts continue to beat and their lungs continue to work and the sunshine continue to shine out and the grass to grow and the food to grow in the field. God's just good to everybody. You know, I start thinking about that. And this is what I start thinking about. Mom, this is what I start thinking about. There's somebody that tells us that God's not good. And there's really three people that tell us that tells us that this is all a lie here. The devil says God's not good to you. And this is what I want to say to the devil, and this is what I want to say to those that listen to the devil. Satan, you may say that God isn't good, but you're a liar. And I want to tell you why. Satan, I want to tell you why you're a liar and that I don't believe you when you say that God is not good. Here's my question for you, devil. Let me ask you a question, devil. How good have you been to people? You're going to tell people that God's not good to people. How good have you been to people, Mr. Devil? Were you good to Eve when you told her how terrible God had been to her in that perfect garden? Were you good to her? Were you good to her broken family that came out of that garden? Were you good to her weeping soul over her child that's in the ground? How good have you been to others, devil? How dare you say our God's not good to us? You're not good enough, devil, to say that God isn't good. You understand that?
When we listen to the devil thinking that God's not good, think about who's telling you that. Someone that has destroyed humanity. The devil, have you been good to these innocent young lives that have you destroyed their purity and then left them in nothing but a state of loneliness and shame and breath? How good have you been to people like that, devil?
I don't think the devil's been very good to people. Devil, how good were you to Absalom? You promised him everything and then you hung him on a tree. How good were you to Haman, devil? You were going to use him to settle all his scores, and then he's hanged on the gallows of his own making and his children as well. Let me ask you something, Satan. How good were you to King Zedekiah? You tried to get him to listen to you instead of to God, to Jeremiah. And what happened to him? You let him watch his own kids be killed in front of his eyes. And then you plucked out his own eyes and he lived the rest of his life with the last thing he ever saw of his children being murdered. And you dare tell us as God's people that you're not good, that he's not good? How good were you to Judas and his bargaining? How good has the devil been to this world? You know what? Look, well, you can go by the cancer wards. You can go by all these children that have cancer. You know what a strange thing? People blame God for that. You know who did that? The devil did that. The devil did that in the garden. Sickness and death and sin came out of a garden because the devil wanted to destroy the people that God created. God's not good to me. The devil's a liar. Devil, how good have you been to these people that you've got hooked on dope? You told them if they'd just take this substance, they'd be all right. And they snorted it and they smoked it and they put it up their veins. How good have you done? How good have you been to them? And their brains are fried and their heart's a mess, their family's a mess. How good have you been to the world that you promised them all this pleasure? How good have you been to these people that you fill with booze and alcohol and giving them whatever pleasure they want? How good have you been to humanity, Mr. Devil? And then they run over people and killed them and left a motherless child. How good have you been to us, devil? No, you've not been good to anybody. Don't tell me God's not been good to me, devil. Because you are the breaker of homes and you're the breaker of nations and you're the author of wars. And you are the inventor of hell. So this is why I won't say when the devil comes to you and tell you not God's not good, remember who's talking to you. And you're not allowed to say God's not good if you're not good. But there's somebody else that tells us that God's not good. It's not just the devil. You know, sometimes we blame everything on the devil. The world will tell you God's not good. The world will make fun. Well, you guys have invented this religion and education of the world tells us, you know, there is no God. What, you know, world? I want to tell the world this, that the world is a liar just like the devil's a liar. And I don't believe the world when the world says that God is not real and God's not good to us. I don't believe the world. You know why I don't believe the world? It's a different reason I don't believe the devil. I don't believe the devil because he's never been good to anybody. I don't believe the world because the world's never been right about anything. I mean, even their science changes about every 50 years or 100 years. Why would I believe a world system telling me my God is not good when they tell me that I came from a tadpole? Why would I believe a world that would tell me that God is not good when they tell people that you can be whatever you want to be? If you want to identify as a rhinoceros, you're a rhinoceros. Well, how stupid is that?
I tell you what, right now I want to identify as a 6'8" Marine. I want to identify. That's legal. The world says I can declare myself to be, I can declare myself to be a black man if I want to. That's what the world says. Why would I believe anything? And the world wants to tell me that my Bible's a joke and my God's a joke. And they don't even know what they are. So world, you know, you're a liar when you tell me that my God's not good. Because you're not smart enough to say God's not good. No. You change your trends and your styles and everything constantly. I don't believe the world. They're not smart enough. I mean, you think they could fix something. They fix nothing. All they do is create problems. Well, there's one more entity that tells you that God's not good and it robs your thankfulness. And sad to say that sometimes that's you. You'll tell yourself that. But you know, just like the world is a liar because they're not smart enough to say that God's not good, and just like the devil is a liar, he's not good enough to say that God's not good. We lie to ourselves. And the reason that we lie to ourselves sometimes is because, listen, we're not spiritual enough to tell ourselves that God's not good. We don't have enough discernment to really discern a righteous God, a holy God. We usually don't have enough holiness and peace and joy and love. Why would I trust what I would say? You know what's true about us? We're up and we're down and we're up and we're down. I mean, probably, I don't know all. I don't, praise God, I don't wake up with you every morning. I don't go to the coffee pot when you go to the... But probably all through the day, you're probably not happy all day long. And you're probably not mad all day long. I hope that's not the case. You're probably not moody 24 hours a day. But sometimes you're emotional, right? Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you're disappointed. Sometimes you're depressed. Sometimes you're excited. And then the one gem that's always the same, then there's you. But as a rule, humanity, our hearts, our lives, we go up and down and up and down. And sometimes we're spiritual and sometimes we're not very spiritual. Sometimes we're praying and seeking God and loving God. And sometimes... So listen, so why would I trust me when me tells me that God's not good? I'm not spiritual enough to discern that, even if I tried. And this is what I say to you. The Lord is good to all. And everything else is a lie. So because he's good to all, you know what we all do? Thanks be unto God. What a King. What a Lord. What a great God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for compassion. Thank you that I'm not going to hell. Thank you, God, that you have a family for me. Thank you, Lord. Every day I just bless you. Lord, I hope you get a blessing today. Because you sure have blessed my life.